welcome to This Week in Mormons, the Twim Sisters edition with Arianne Smith
and Tiffany Hales, and we are your hosts here today.
Yes, we're back to pick apart some Mormons in the news or members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints in the news.
Exactly. We need to get that Mormon vernacular out of your vocabulary there, my friend.
I know. So we are almost done with the month of May.
Yes. And for anybody who has listened to our podcast, because we started in the month of May, was it 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
When we did our first one? Yeah. We have very much a hate relationship with the month of May.
But we've made it.
We have made it. May is always a marathon, not a sprint.
We're still standing.
We are in the home stretch, might I add.
Oh, yeah.
So, and anyone who is a mom understands exactly what we mean by the month of May.
That's right. And if you're not, don't worry about it. Just enjoy your life.
Continue to enjoy May. Continue as you have been. Because once you are a parent with children, you will come to hate the month of May.
But yes, we made it through. So our big thing, well, one of our big things on our list last weekend was the Daddy-Daughter Campout. Our ward does it every year in May.
I question the sanity of doing this in May, not only for the weather, but because of the schedule.
Know. Although for me, as a mom of mostly daughters.
True.
May is a great time to do this. Because
very true.
I could use one night of good sleep alone in my house.
Okay, fair enough.
But the stars did not align this year.
Okay, so what happened this year?
So we just had too many things. They do it always on a Friday, and they do it. It's about a couple hours, I don't know, hour and a half away. Anyway, stars did not align. We had too many things going on the Saturday.
Okay.
So they couldn't go on Friday night. We had, you know, soccer games and cleaning the church and recitals, multiple recitals the next day. So it wasn't going to work out. But it's a good thing because, as you mentioned, the weather,
yes,
the weather did not cooperate this year. It was raining on Friday, and I heard the numbers were fairly low this year because it was wet and rainy and like cold rain, not even warm rain. So I know that even if we hadn't had things, my husband would have been like, nope, I'm out.
Exactly. Well, can you even imagine as a dad? Yeah, I'm going to take my girls up into the woods where it's cold and wet and rainy, and we're going to have an enjoyable time. I mean, you might get that with your sons. They probably would enjoy that, but the girls, not so much.
Yeah, I don't know. They would have loved the mud and the dirt up until the sleeping part. That they would have not done well with.
They would have been like,
sleeping,
it's time to go home.
Cold. So anyways, to make up for it this weekend, because of course my daughters were so sad to miss this. They love this event. They look forward to it every year. To make up for it this weekend, he is taking them to a hotel downtown.
Oh, dang.
For overnight on Friday. So they are getting their daddy-daughter camp out in a hotel. I think this is a really good situation.
Oh, my gosh. That is the type of daddy-daughter camp out I want to go on. Do I want to sleep in a tent in the woods? Oh, no. I do not want to sleep in a tent in the woods. Do I want to sleep in a fancy bed in a hotel in downtown Boise? Yeah. Sign me up for that one.
Yeah. So they're all excited. And I will get my one good night of sleep.
Yes, because I assume that because the baby is a boy, the baby will be staying with you.
Oh, yeah. He'll stay with me.
Fun. So. Okay. So jealous. Okay. So the big event that happened in our life is my daughter, Lauren, had seminary graduation on Sunday. And so, you know, it's typical seminary graduation. This is the third year in a row we've had a graduating senior. So, you know, I'm kind of a pro at this by now. I know next year in the month of May when I don't have to deal with a graduating senior.
It's going to be a piece of cake.
Oh, I don't know what I'm going to do with all my time in the month of May.
Yeah.
Anyway, so you were over at my house because we were celebrating the birthday of one of my children on Sunday night before the seminary graduation because, like you, double, triple, quadruple booked practically every day. Mm-hmm. And so my 15-year-old son made quite the hilarious comment because he, of course, was not excited to go to his sister's seminary graduation.
There was much grumbling. He did not want to have to go upstairs and change into church clothes.
He did not. And he did not want to have to sit there. And so he said, when I am the stake president, here are the three things I'm going to do for seminary graduation. Do you want to hear the three things?
Yes.
He said, First of all, you can go in whatever clothes you have on. You don't have to put on your church clothes. Second, he said, no siblings allowed at seminary graduation. This is a parents-only activity. And third, one talk, 10 minutes, the whole thing lasts no more than 30.
Oh, so wise. Words, such a wise young man.
Words of wisdom from the 15-year-old. So, you know, I pity the stake that ends up with him as a stake president someday. Although they might like his ideas on seminary graduation.
They might love it.
Exactly. So. Okay. We also had, of course, in the month of May, Mother's Day.
Yes, we did. We always like to talk quickly about Mother's Day.
We do.
Because we did a really big, was that our first
podcast? It was our first podcast.
When we like totally dived into like Mother's Day at church.
We got on our high horse about
traditions and
Mother's
Day.
Yes.
Okay, so I want to know, what was your Mother's Day gift at church this year?
Well, it's cheesecake. It's always cheesecake.
Your award does the same thing every year.
Every single year it's cheesecake. In fact, about a week before Mother's Day, I was sitting in a Relief Society Enrichment Committee meeting, and the bishop's wife was in charge of the meeting. Well, not in charge of the meeting, but she's the counselor from Relief Society. And so I said, yo, Julie, can we have something other than cheesecake this year in Relief Society? And she said, ooh, it's probably too late for that request. And I thought to myself, note to self, put on the calendar next year in March, put into Julie's ear, axe the cheesecake for Mother's Day. Pick something else.
You don't like the cheesecake. You're just sick of it.
I'm just sick of it. You know, we had it about 12:30. I'm hungry for lunch. I'm eating this big piece of cheesecake. About the first two bites are good, and then I'm kind of over it. But then I feel guilty throwing away this huge slice of cheesecake, because, of course, they are not small slices, because the men cut the cheesecake two slices that they would, the size of slices they would like. As opposed to the women, if I just had like a little tiny sliver of the cheesecake, I would be delighted. Oh, I don't want the hunk of cheesecake. I want the sliver.
All right. That's fair. Okay, so my award did really good this year.
Okay, so what did your award
do this year? Last year was kind of a down year. I don't know if you remember, we got bath bombs last year.
Oh, yeah, I do remember you mentioning
made
that.
Made by some activity day girls or young women, which I felt horrible about, like, not enjoying. But I was like, oh.
But you know what? Here's the beauty. You have kids who enjoy the bath bomb. That's so true. You just re-gift it.
That's true. I gave it to my children. Anyway, so this year at the end of sacrament, the boys came and passed us something, and it was a little bag and there were some balls in it. So automatically I thought, oh, this is just bath bombs again.
Okay.
Okay. I got home from church and I opened the bag. They were balls of Lindt truffles. I was like, oh, yes.
I hate you. I so officially hate you. That is what I've wanted. That has been my one woman campaign, is give me some really good chocolate in a little package that I could take home and savor in my closet away from my children. That's Mother's Day right there.
But we also had cheesecake and brownies in Relief Society, but that was just the Relief Society teacher that brought it, which I thought was nice, because we had never done that in this ward here. My past ward, they always did something like that on Mother's Day, where you got a chance to visit. Anyway, we had an excellent Relief Society lesson that day. We split into groups. We got to have discussion. We had enough time at the end of our discussion to have a treat, and we ate this cheesecake. Anyway, one of the things that the teacher showed us toward the end of the lesson, her lesson was on, Sister Eubanks' conference talk.
Okay.
From this past conference. And one of the videos she showed us at the very end, kind of as we were finishing up our treat, was a video that was just released right before Mother's Day.
Yeah, I think it was released, what, on the 13th?
Right.
That's when I saw it on YouTube.
Well, it must have been right before, because she had it that Sunday, which would have been
the 12th. So it would have been sometime that weekend the church released it.
So it was such a good video. It's called Just Like You, and it was done by the Relief Society General Presidency and Board.
Okay.
And it had them gathered in a room.
Yes.
Correct. And they were discussing who had been through the various challenges that all of these women have been through in their lives. And there are 10 women on the general board, including the presidency.
Okay.
And it was really cool. They talked about who here's had infertility problems, who's had money problems, who has a family member that identifies as LGBTQ, who has family member with addictions, who's battling chronic illness or has that in their family. And they totaled up all these numbers, and there's more and more that, that they went through, who's been affected by depression and anxiety. And just, it was amazing to see them be vulnerable and share these things that we're all dealing with. It was a really cool video, and it was the perfect end to our lesson. Our teacher did such a great job on that lesson, and it was the perfect end because I felt like it brought us all together, and it wasn't like there was no like weird Mother's Day guilt. It was just like, yeah, we're all women. We're all, we're doing it. We're just,
which I really like that they showed that video on Mother's Day. I didn't see it until it just recently started floating around the internet. But, you know, we've talked about before that Mother's Day at church can be such a landmine for all the women for a whole variety of reasons. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that I really, really like about this video is, okay, let's admit it. In general conference, when you see whether it's the Young Women's Presidency, whether it's the primary presidency, whether it's the Relief Society presidency, they all look like they've been cut out of the same block of cream cheese.
With you their colorful blazers.
They have their colorful blazers on. I mean, heaven forbid, should we wear a dress? They all have the same kind of blonde or brown football helmet hair. I mean, they just all look the same. And then they get up there to talk, and I swear, they must have a vocal coach because they all speak the same. So I look at these women when they're giving these talks, and I think to myself, you don't have a freaking clue. Probably your life has been completely perfect. You don't understand, you know, what it's like to be divorced, to be a step parent, you know, to have some of the challenges, you know, that we have faced. And I just think in looking at them, which again, I realize this is me projecting onto them. This is not them. But it just looks like you don't get it. Right. And that's what I really liked about this video is because, first of all, you got to see the entire Relief Society board. And there are sisters on that board who are not cut from the same block of cream cheese. And so they looked different. And I appreciated that. And I really appreciated all of these experiences that they talked about having. Mm-hmm. And it made me feel like, okay, these women get it. Right. You know, it gave me a whole different perspective.
Yeah, me too. Me too. And it's a good reminder, you know, not to judge.
Yeah.
Just by what you think someone is like.
By the pastel suit you wear in general conference.
Which I think it's easier to judge someone from far away like that.
Oh, yeah.
Like somebody who comes into our church building, we'd probably give more of a, you know, the benefit of the doubt.
Yeah.
Than someone up there on the stage at general conference.
True that.
So, but it is. It's great. It's a good feeling as a woman and a mom to know that this committee of women is representing us and they have this background of all these experiences combined.
Exactly. And if you haven't watched the video, I encourage you to do so. It's really short. It's what, like maybe 2 minutes?
Yeah, just a couple
minutes. It's completely short. So go watch the video. It's called Just Like You. It'll just, like I said, it really changed my perspective.
Yeah, it was a great video.
Okay, so moving on in the news. We'll get to some other news stories here.
Yes.
We need to talk about President Nelson. He's on his little 9-day South Pacific tour right now. And like any good rock star who goes on tour, he has to bring his groupies with him and he has to bring his media crew.
Right.
Just like the president, the press travels with him.
Elder Gong, right?
Elder Gong and his wife are on tour with him. And then they have, I believe, Elder Halleck, who is an area authority somewhere over there in the Pacific, and his wife, they're there with him too. So they started out in Hawaii, and then they went to Samoa, and they've been to several other places. Mm-hmm. They are starting now to conclude it. But one of the most interesting things he has done is when he went to New Zealand, he met with their prime minister. Now, many of you may or may not know, their prime minister is a woman. Her name is Jacinda Ardern, and she made headlines alone just when she was elected prime minister.
She's been all over the news because she was a woman elected, and then she had her baby.
She had a baby while in office.
And then she was back at work, what, just a few weeks after having the baby?
Not super long.
Anyway, so she made really big headlines all over the world because it's just so unique.
Yeah. In fact, I dare to say, I don't think there's been, I can't remember because it's been a while since she had the baby, but you know, one of the very, very few female leaders that has ever had a baby while in office.
Leader of a country.
Leader of a country. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So, President Nelson goes to meet with her and, excuse me. He meets with her for several different reasons. First of all, one of the things that he was doing there when he was in New Zealand is, as we know, there were two mosques in Christchurch that were blown up. And so he was there presenting a donation on behalf of the church to the leaders of those mosques to help towards rebuilding. Mm-hmm. So he wanted to let her know that. And so this is what he had to say about her. And this created a little bit of commentary, color commentary online. He says, "She is courageous. The world will discover they've got a real leader here. It's an unlikely scenario. A young mother leading a great nation, a peacemaker, a policymaker, a consensus builder. We're very confident she'll have a great future." Mm-hmm. Now, this created a stir for several different reasons. Reason number one, people were saying, would you ever say a young father leading a great nation? You know, was that, you know, kind of a sexist dig towards her? I didn't take it that way because, again, it is really unusual that you would have a leader of a country who gives birth. And I think she does set an excellent role model for women. The other thing that created a little bit of tension here was right after the mosques, the blow ups at the mosques, she very quickly led a virtually unanimous legislation to ban most semi-automatic weapons and some pump action shotguns. And that made world headlines. So a lot of maybe the extreme rightists who have some very strong feelings about gun control, were maybe not as pleased with his praise of Prime Minister Ardern, to say the least. So the other thing that was really interesting, and again, present at the meeting were her uncle. Now, her uncle is a gentleman by the name of Elder Ian S. Ardern. Elder as in he is a member of the 70 because, folks, she is a member of the church.
Right. Or she was raised a member.
She was raised a member.
Which is fascinating. I had no idea. Yes. I mean, I've seen her on the news for a few years now, and I had no idea. Did you know this before?
I did know this before. She was raised a member. She's no longer practicing. I don't know if she has officially given her resignation or it's just not her thing anymore. Mm-hmm. My understanding is that one of the big struggles for her was LGBTQ issues, and that's one of the reasons why she's not practicing anymore. But when President Nelson met with her, along with the gongs and the halix, her uncle was there, who is a 70, along with his wife.
Okay.
And her father, who is her uncle's twin brother, was there, along with her little baby girl. Okay. And she said, oh, it was just like family. Mm-hmm. And she also indicated that when she became the prime minister, the church prepared for her books about her family ancestry. Mm-hmm. And then apparently President Nelson presented her a Book of Mormon with her name embossed on the front.
Oh. Just this week?
Just this week.
Oh, okay.
So I think the ancestry was prior, but then just this week he did that. So the next day, I believe, after he met with her, then he met with some of the leaders of the mosque. Mm-hmm. And there were two different mosques, and he presented $50,000 to each leader of each mosque. Mm-hmm. And there is a really short, probably 1.5 minute video on him with the leaders of the mosques. Again, heavily produced and edited, just like a good church video. What? There's one where it shows him arm in arm with one of the mosque leaders. And he says, so what can we do? We can pray, we can love, we can minister. And he was saying to these mosque leaders that he wanted to leave a blessing with them and a blessing upon their families. So
very cool.
Good way for him to reach out and give us all an example of ministering to those not of our faith.
Right. Very good. Very good. Okay. Next thing we have to talk about is polygamy. We don't have to talk about this, but
We're going to, because
we're going to.
We have some strong feelings
because
today.
It's been put in my face a little bit this past couple weeks.
Well, not only has it been put in your face, they put it in the most favorite way to put it in your face.
Oh, you all know I have feelings about the Deseret book catalog.
Yes.
And the Deseret book in general.
Yes, because I believe last year at this time, we had the Mother's Day catalog. Because do you remember it was like Women Who Know or Strong Women or whatever it was.
We had to pick apart their Mother's Day ad campaign because we couldn't get over the ridiculousness.
It was all about, hey, can we make you feel more guilty?
Okay, so.
But that was last year. This year, they did not do that. They had a whole new take this year.
Their Mother's Day Deseret book, like, catalog was normal-ish.
Maybe they listen to our podcast.
Maybe. I'm sure they do.
I'm sure they do.
So, but this latest one that just came is the Father's Day edition.
Oh, this is Father's Day.
Yes,
okay.
This is Father's Day because all of the, you know, gifts inside are like gifts for him.
Oh, okay.
Like, very manly. Like, by the way, they have ties. They sell ties at Deseret Book, and the ties have names. Truman, Newell, Joseph, Heber, Edward.
Shut up. So they do not.
They do. The different designs of ties have these, like, pioneering names.
Okay, so I like number 11. What's tie number 11?
Tie number 11 is George.
Is the George tie. Classic. Okay.
Anyway.
It was a plaid, folks.
Sorry. That was a side note.
Okay.
So this Father's Day Deseret book catalog showed up in my mail last week, and on the cover is a brand new book called Muddy. Muddy, Where Faith and Polygamy Collide, a historical novel by Dean Hughes.
Oh, my.
So I flipped it open to get some more. I'm like, what? We're writing historical fiction on polygamy now? Don't we just kind of want to, like,
pretend that didn't exist?
Yeah.
Put that on a shelf?
Like, why are we putting this on the cover of Deseret Book Catalog?
I mean, not only have we written a book, we're putting it on the cover and we're heavily promoting it.
Yes. So I showed my husband and he was laughing so hard. He was like, it's like The Work and the Glory, but the polygamy edition.
So does he theorize that somebody put Dean Hughes up to writing this historical novel?
He has, like, this conspiracy theory.
Okay.
That with the church tackling the polygamy issue head on, as they've tried to do in the past few years.
In the gospel topic essay.
The essays.
Yes.
He has this conspiracy theory that they told this guy to write a novel about it, a beloved novel, so we can read about it like The Work and the Glory.
And that we can feel better about polygamy.
Yes.
We can be like, oh. It was, well, I don't know. I haven't read the book, so I don't know if it's going to make me mad or if it's going to make me feel all warm and fuzzy.
Okay, so here is the description. So it really is kind of Work in the Glory-ish. It's historical fiction. They did not have a great description in the Deseret Book catalog.
Okay.
But I needed more information, so I looked on Amazon.
Of course, the everything store.
There are no reviews yet, unfortunately.
Oh, dang. Okay, we may have to follow this up next month with reviews of the book.
We need to tell Jeff to read it and review it.
Oh, that's a really good idea. I do. I think Jeff needs to read it and review it. Or better yet, maybe we read it and review it.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Yeah. But, you know, or maybe he has a male read it and review it and a female read it and review it and get the point counterpoint.
That would be good.
That would be good because I have a feeling the male take on the book could be significantly different than the female take on the book.
I don't know.
Okay.
This did appear on the Father's Day edition of the catalog and not the Mother's Day edition.
Okay. So. Good point.
So anyway, the story is about a young Morgan and his new bride, Angeline, who are sent south to Nevada from Utah to develop Nevada as pioneers. And it says, together they face difficult requests from church leaders, multiple failed attempts to settle, deaths of loved ones, and then perhaps the ultimate challenge, polygamy. What do stalwart members do when faced with conflicting feelings between what their hearts tell them and the hard instructions from Salt Lake City? Morgan and Angeline are about to find out.
Ooh.
Dun, dun, dun. Anyway, that's all. I just thought it was really interesting. It's written by the same guy that wrote, what was the one? Saints? Was it?
No,
Children of...
He's
It was the war one.
Was it Children of the Promise?
Children of the Promise. That's
yes.
what it was.
Okay.
Which I never read, but it was about like
and
World
that was
War II.
Based on World War II.
Or something. Yeah.
He's done a lot of, I Googled him. He has 102 books that he's written. Most of the books that he's written are series that are geared at either kids or like teenagers or young adults, right, sort of a thing. So I think this sounds like this is perhaps his first foray into a series that perhaps adults would read, because I really don't see my 16-year-old, my 15-year-old picking this up and going, let's see where faith and polygamy collide.
I don't know. Very, very interesting, though.
Okay. So this was not your only run-in with polygamy.
So I saw that at the beginning of last week. And then like a day or two later, I saw actually in the TWIM feed on Facebook, they posted one of the TWIM contributors wrote an article about some videos that have just been put out, not by the church, by this guy.
Allegedly not by the church.
By this guy named Stephen Jones, who is a comedian. I didn't remember who he was until I looked him up. I'm sure he's one of these people that's probably well known in Utah. He's a comedian slash host slash, you know, actor personality. He was, when I looked him up, I remembered the video. Do you remember when the BYU students did the spoof on the Old Spice video?
Oh, yes.
A few years ago.
And that was hilarious.
It was so funny. Everybody loved it. He was the guy, the star of that was playing the Old Spice guy.
Got it.
Walking through like the BYU library and stuff. So apparently he's like a comedian and does some stuff. Anyway, so when I clicked on these videos, because the title said he was a comedian and he had done videos on polygamy, I was like, what are we telling jokes about this now?
I know. So you
are
and
we to that point? I don't think we're there.
No.
So we clicked on the videos.
So tonight, you and I are like completely, neither one of us had looked at the videos yet. And so we're like, okay, let's see what these videos are about.
We gotta look at the videos. No, they are not comical at all.
So don't go in with that expectation.
No, he's like trying to take on polygamy and tackle some of the hard questions of polygamy. He goes, these videos are with him and two young
girls.
Ladies. College age-ish.
Yes. They appear to be
ladies.
Like 22 to 24.
And they all have their phones out and they're supposedly answering some questions, hard questions on polygamy.
No, it is unclear where these questions originate from.
No, we don't know where these questions came from. Or who these two girls are. They didn't really explain that very well.
No, I don't know who the two girls are either.
I believe they're PR interns.
I do too, because here's the deal. So each video is what, about 12 or 13 minutes long?
And there's three. It's a series of three.
So it's a commitment if you're going to watch these. It, you know, we're not talking a two-minute video on the Relief Society General Board. It is a commitment. And so the first video, they're all sitting down kind of in chairs, kind of, I don't know if it was in front of a fireplace or, you know, whatever the background was. And they're talking and he doesn't really say much. It's mostly maybe he asks a question and then the girls bat the answer back and forth.
That are answering more. He's more acting kind of like a moderator.
Exactly. And they are just like smacking it down. They are just throwing it down, going, well, here is this and this and this and this and this. You know, a little bit they read off their phone. It's not impromptu at all. It is very, very, very scripted. And the production quality is really good. So I'm looking at these, and my first thing when I'm looking at these, and several times throughout the video, these girls will say, well, critics will say, or people who have criticized will say, I'm thinking to myself, my first thought was these videos are somehow church produced because they just have that feeling about them. And this is to combat millennials who are leaving the church over these issues or who are struggling with these issues. This is completely geared towards millennials. So then I started looking at some of his other videos. I thought, okay, who is this guy? So he has a Facebook page and he's got about 2,600 followers on his Facebook page. He's got a YouTube page and he's got about 2,000 followers on his YouTube page. And he has these videos on both his Facebook page and his YouTube page. Not only the polygamy videos, but he has videos about why we go to the temple and just all sorts of other kind of gospel related questions. And again, they are slick. Slick like a church video. And I'm thinking to myself, there's just something going on here. So then I Googled him, and here's what I found on his LinkedIn page. So on his LinkedIn page, it says for his job, it says educator. It says the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Seminaries and Institutes of Religion, January 2016 to present. So 3 years and 5 months. Now, it does not say he is a teacher.
No.
Like what you would expect a teacher to say. So I am wondering if by educator, you know, it wouldn't surprise me if he goes around and talks to youth groups mm-hmm. on behest of the church. But I really think these videos, although they are coming out on his website, I really think the church is behind the production of these.
He's like a secret church influencer.
He is a church influencer. I think that is exactly what it is. Again, designed to hit those millennials. So it's not like this is the church telling them that, because maybe they have a little reservation of, oh, should I believe the church or not? I'm, you know, trying to sort my testimony out from my parents. Mm-hmm. Well, look at Stephen Jones. We really like him. Let's see what he has to say.
Right. It's a very interesting theory. And it makes you wonder if there are other
influencers
under the wing.
I know.
Because I told you this, didn't I, about what my brother-in-law?
I think you did. Remind me.
Okay. So my brother-in-law, who lives in Utah, says he has friends that work for the church, not even in PR, but not the PR department,
yeah.
but just work for the church in various departments.
Yes.
And that they are not required, strongly encouraged
Ew.
To make a certain amount of social media posts on their personal accounts regarding church.
Interesting.
I could be a rumor. I'm not saying it's true because you never know, but that is the rumor.
Yeah.
And you know we love rumors.
We do love rumors. Well, and I want to say, I mean, I don't mean to sound negative about his videos, because I actually enjoyed his videos.
Yeah.
They are very well produced. The quality on them is excellent.
And I do appreciate he really is tackling
tough subjects.
The tough questions.
He is. He
like
is.
Things we don't want to think about.
He is. In a way that I think very specifically appeals to millennials. Mm-hmm. I am not being negative about his videos, because the videos are all really, really good. It's quality material. It's very well done. I guess for me, I'm like, well, if you're going to be an influencer, call yourself an influencer. Don't try and pretend to be something you're not. That's the only thing I question, because like I said, the production value on these very much reminds me of the production value of church videos.
Yeah, it's very interesting.
Anyway,
just interesting that it popped up the same week as the
exactly
historical novel.
And here's the other thing, too. I noticed when I got on LinkedIn, he is connected to one of our cousins who does video production.
All right.
We are going to have to corner her at some point in time and say, what do you know about this guy? And see what her inside information is.
That's right.
Okay. Anyway.
All right. We need to do an update on BYU Honor Code, because we
hit on
that heavily last month when we discussed news. It was kind of fresh, all the controversy and the picketing at BYU and demonstrations.
Exactly.
So what's the latest?
So the latest is, and we talked about a little bit about this last month. In January, the Honor Code office got a new director. His name was Kevin Ute. And this, of course, exploded within, the first 60 days, 60 to 90 days of his employment of being the new Honor Code director.
He had a rough few months.
He, you know, talk about, you know, out of the frying pan into the fire. He probably had no idea. So the Honor Code office on, I believe, around on or about the 14th of May came in the form of a letter. They said there are several areas of change when it comes to how they are going to handle issues in the Honor Code office. First of all, students will now be told during their first contact with the office what they are being accused of. Because sometimes they weren't told that. They would go in there and they'd say, well, anything you want to tell us? We got a report. What do you think we got a report about? Accused students will be given the names of those making allegations against them, except in situations where it is a matter of safety to the members of our campus community. I really liked that too, because there were people who only wanted to report anonymously.
Right.
And we heard stories of, I had a bad breakup, and so my girlfriend reported me to the honor code office for things that never occurred.
Right. Anonymously, or roommates that are mad.
Exactly.
Or just little tiny things that.
Exactly.
And maybe don't need to be reported. I think this will definitely help with that culture of tattletaling.
Exactly.
That they were experiencing. Hopefully.
Exactly. And I was of the opinion, if you're going to say it and report it, own it.
Yeah.
If you're not willing to own it, then don't report it.
Right.
Students will be told from the beginning what they can expect from the investigation process and what support resources are available.
Yeah.
So, I like that. The other thing is they referenced a little bit of an interview with him. And one of the things that I liked is they had a Q&A session in April, and he encouraged others in their commitment to comply with the owner. What he said was, in encouraging others to comply with their commitment to honor the owner honor code, that is not synonymous with turning someone in.
Right. Kind of worry about yourself.
Exactly.
In regards to the honor code. Unless, obviously, I mean, there are situations. If a roommate is bringing a boy into your room while you're asleep, and that's obviously very uncomfortable. There are situations.
There are situations.
But if it's not affecting you personally, I'm like, mm-mm.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't need to worry about it.
Well, and I think that you can encourage others to comply with the honor code without necessarily calling up the honor code office and tattling. But then again, that goes back to us as Mormons, who we are so adverse to confrontation that it is so much easier just to call the honor code office.
That's true.
Than to sit down and have
a hard conversation
with your roommate. Anyway, I hope it will be. I hope these changes stick. I think they will, because I feel like he's genuinely sincere in what he wants to do. Of course, it's going to be a matter of where rubber hits the road.
Right.
You know, he is the director, but, you know, so he's got to be responsible for the people who are under him, who will actually have to institute those changes. So, you know, we won't know for a period of time whether that has made a difference.
I did think it was interesting. I get the alumni emails. I know you said you don't. I think they send out an alumni.
Well, I might just throw them away. I don't know.
You put them in your spam.
Yeah.
I don't know how often I get them, because I don't really pay attention. They send, I feel like they send a newsletter every few weeks.
Okay.
So the day that this came out, this was the title of the alumni in the actual email. Because usually they'll put something in the title, but then the email will be like a newsletter with all kinds of information, various things happening at BYU. Well, this was what they chose for the title of the email.
Oh, interesting. So
that's why I clicked on the email, because the title was Changes to some of the rules at the honor code office or whatever. So he's like, oh, they've changed some things. So I clicked on it and then read more about it. So I thought that was interesting. They were definitely wanting to get the word out to alumni.
Very interesting. Because you may have remembered in our last podcast, I said to the little group of students who was behind this effort, I said, you guys need to get the alumni on board, because once you get the alumni mad and they threaten to pull their donations, all of a sudden, people stand up and take notice.
Right.
Money talks. Moving on.
Okay. This story, I think, is hilarious.
Okay.
I cannot get over this one. This was from KSL. They did a story. Apparently, there is a millionaire in Utah who is seeking love.
Well, do we know if he's in Utah, or do we just know that he is a millionaire who is a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints?
You know what? I guess we don't know that he's in Utah, because the billboards were in Utah, but that doesn't necessarily mean. Okay, so basically what this millionaire did was he hired an LDS matchmaker to find him love. And what they did.
I keep thinking of Fiddler on the Roof. Matchmaker, matchmaker, make me a match.
I just keep thinking of The Bachelor and The Bachelorette.
Oh, yeah, this is very Bachelorette, Bachelor so. Too.
So what she did, and I don't know if this was his idea, her idea, who knows, but he was okay with it. He signed off on it.
Exactly.
They bought 10 billboards across the I-15 from Utah County through North Salt Lake.
Okay, well, at least they're targeting the correct group.
That's right. So on the billboards, it shows a picture of an engagement ring. And it says LDS millionaire looking for his wife, exclusive VIP event, June 7th. LDSmillionairematchmaker.com.
I can't. I just can't.
You go, I guess, if you're interested in there finding is a website. Your millionaire, you go to this website and you fill out a form. And the matchmaker will then screen you. And they are having this event on June 7th. They're accepting applications through May 31st.
And I understand to date they have over 1,000 applications.
Oh, tons. Tons of people are like, yeah, I'm going to apply for that. So they will narrow down, they're narrowing down the candidates through video interviews.
Okay.
And they will narrow it down to 20 women who will attend a private dinner event on June 7th. This is where it gets very bachelorish. Oh,
this is where it so gets bachelorish.
How do you find your true love amongst 20 women? I just don't think this is going to work.
Okay. Well, did you ever, you probably never watched this. It was on Bravo. And she was literally called the millionaire matchmaker.
That's true. I did watch that.
And she would take millionaires. She would find a group of about 20 women. That's now, true. Of course, she plied them all with alcohol. So this could be a very different scenario if nobody's drinking. And so he would come into the room and he would kind of work the room with the 20 women.
Right.
This was on the TV show. And then out of those 20 women, he would pick like 3 to have a mini date with.
Right.
And then she'd bring him back for the mini date and he'd have a mini date. And then he would pick one final one to go on a grand date. So I'm wondering if this is kind of a similar type of deal where he's going to meet these 20 women. He's going to have like a little mini date that night and then pick one for a grand date and see how that goes.
Probably.
But if that doesn't go, can you then go back and go, well, can I try this one now?
Let me see all those other applications.
Let me see all those other applications.
I don't know. It's fascinating. The only information she will give on him is he's between 31 and 45 years old. That's a big range.
Why
don't you just say the age?
Yeah, that is a big range.
He's 6 feet, 1 inch tall, and he's tall, dark, and handsome, is what she is saying. And a millionaire. He's never been married and has no children. But he's very committed to making that happen. He's very busy, but he does have time for a relationship, but doesn't have time to find dates.
That causes me some pause.
I feel like we're not going to get the information we want on this story. I feel like I'm going to need some closure, and I want to know how this turns out.
Well, I just hope KSL and the media down in Utah stay on this, you know, like flies on honey, and so that we can find out. I suppose if the whole thing is a bust and he doesn't like any of the girls, we'll never know.
No.
But should he find true love and fall in love, you know, then we might get, you know, maybe a little follow-up story.
Well, I would hope so. Because yes. I'm sure his LDS matchmaker would want to be putting that on her resume.
Exactly.
And shouting it to the world.
Exactly.
Anyway, I just think it's hilarious. I want to know what happens.
So for all you single ladies out there, you have until May 31st to submit your application if you're interested in the LDS millionaire. All right. Next story. You may recall a little over a year ago, we had new stretch cotton garments for women. Well, the men did not want to be left out of the excitement of new stretch cotton garments. So there are now new stretch cotton garments for men. And I think they were released earlier this year. You could buy them online, but they were not available to buy at a distribution center. They are now available to buy at a distribution center, and I went to said distribution center over the weekend, and I purchased 2 pairs for my husband.
Oh, okay. So they had them in stock. There wasn't like a run on the garments like there was with the women?
Well, they were, you know, it was kind of interesting because when I first walked in, so our distribution center here is part of our Deseret book. And so there's a little kind of side thing right by it. I mean, you literally have to go through the Deseret book to get to the distribution part. Anyway, so when I first walked in, the line for the counter was backed up probably about 5 deep and they were all men.
Oh, interesting.
It was very interesting. So I go back to check them out And, you know, I told my husband I was going. I said, what size do you want? So, you know, I easily locate the size of bottoms that he wants. Mm-hmm. And I go to start looking for the top. And the top is very interesting because for two things. First of all, they have now provided a V-neck for the men. Should you want to have a V-neck garment? They also, in the rounded top, which has been known as the crew top, this is called a lower crew top. And so I'm looking at this lower crew top. And I know my husband. He wears, you know, the crew top that goes up to the neck, mm-hmm. preppy look. He's a child of the 80s. He can't help himself. And so I'm thinking to myself, ooh, I don't know how he's going to feel about this lower crew top. So I grabbed the little old lady who's working there and I said, do these come in a higher, like, top, you know, neck length,
right?
Or neck. And she's like, oh no, they did the lower crew top because they had requests that men wanted to be able to wear a t-shirt over the top of their garments without their garments showing. Mm-hmm. So apparently the neckline is a bit lower.
But not like a scoop, like the
not like an eternal smile. And my husband and I had that discussion because I told him, I said, if you wore garments that were an eternal smile, that would have been a deal breaker when we were dating. I would have been like, no go. You get new garments or I'm not dating you anymore. I don't like the eternal smile.
So just a little bit lower.
Just a little bit lower. Okay. Like probably it looks like it's probably maybe about an inch lower. Uh-huh. And then the sleeves are shorter as well. And it's designed to be more of a snug fit. Uh-huh. So like the women's garments, things are silk screened on. There's no tags.
Which is a great change.
And the panel down the side is the mesh, like the panel like the down the side okay. for the women's. Now, when you get to the bottoms, the mesh for the men is in the front to provide ventilation. Oh,
okay.
Anyway, I washed them. I don't believe my husband has tried them yet. He was a little skittish when I told him that the neckline was a bit lower. And so I have a feeling that he's probably not going to like these is mm-hmm. going to be my guess, which again is why I only bought him two pairs, you know, minimal investment.
Right.
But, you know, I think the only reason he's not going to like him is he really does like that higher neckline. Mm-hmm. But I also don't know how he's going to feel about the more snug fit.
Right.
Because he's a loose kind of garment fitting kind of guy.
Yeah.
Anyway. Enough on the men's underwear.
Well, good for them.
Oh, and you know, another really interesting thing that the worker told me when I was in the store that day.
What was that?
She said that they actually had to push back the rollout date for these men's garments because they had not anticipated how popular the stretch cotton for women would be. So rather than stop the production for the stretch cotton for women to start the production for men, they had to keep producing women's garments mm-hmm. till they caught up with demand before they could then start production on the men's because apparently we sisters love the stretch cotton garments.
Oh, very interesting.
So I knew you would like that little tidbit of information.
Yes. Yes. Fascinating. Well, I'm glad they got their chance.
Yes. Okay.
All right. Oh, we have to talk about the change of names to the mobile apps from the church. They are, as we know, gradually changing everything from Mormon to and LDS to other names.
Other names. So President Nelson wants to remove those from our vernacular. Yes.
So they're gradually changing the apps. I noticed they changed the Motab app fairly quickly.
Quickly, yes.
Now it's called... Now I think the app just says Tab. What does it say?
I don't know. You don't have, believe it or not, I don't have the Motab app.
Have that app.
I didn't even realize there was a Motab app.
They do, and it's great because on Sunday when you want to listen to Sunday music, if you turn on the Mormon Channel app, you will get a slew of a variety of songs.
Oh.
Many which sound like boy bands.
Oh. Okay.
Singing churchy songs that are not hymns.
Okay, that's weird.
But if you listen to the Motab app, you will get only Tabernacle Choir, not all hymns, because sometimes you'll get their show tunes mixed in. But let's see.
Okay, I am so good at, how did I know? I love the Tabcast.
Yes, see, it's called Tab Choir. That's what they changed that app to, Tab Choir.
Well, so who knew?
They have also changed LDS tools. Now it just says tools.
Okay.
And gospel library just says library.
Okay.
Or did it always just say library?
I can't remember. We've always called it Gospel Library.
I can't remember.
So I can't remember either.
Apparently, I didn't know this because I don't have this one, but there's a Mormon Messages app and they changed it to say Inspirational Messages.
Okay.
But I did notice that they haven't changed the Mormon Channel app yet. That one still says Mormon Channel.
Okay.
I wonder if they'll change it to Inspirational Channel.
I don't have the Mormon Channel app either. Hmm. Man, I'm really behind on my apps related to the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. You are.
This one, which is the hymns, says Sacred Music. I think it used to say LDS Hymns.
I think it did too. Now, that one I do have. I do have that app.
Right.
But I'm going to have to go find myself the Tapcat app.
Yeah, you've got to get it. So it's very interesting how they're changing them and what they're coming up with.
Exactly.
To change the names for.
Exactly. Okay, so our last story. This is kind of a sad one. I kind of feel bad about ending on this note, but we've got our favorite things coming up. So there was, unfortunately, a missionary over the weekend who passed away. He was serving in Mexico City. His name was Andrew Carr. He was 19 from Fort Worth, Texas. He apparently died from asphyxiation in his apartment. There was a faulty water heater located near the shower in his apartment. So it sounds to me like this was probably carbon monoxide poisoning.
Right.
Is what I'm guessing. His companion apparently was just fine. So I don't know, like, if he was in the bathroom or something and had closed the door and, you know, maybe was overcome by the carbon monoxide. I don't really know.
Yeah.
It doesn't give too many details, but, obviously our hearts and prayers go out to his family. His stake president released a statement that said, "We are deeply saddened by the loss of Elder Andrew Carr, but we take comfort in the eternal plan of a loving Heavenly Father. How grateful we are to know that in the times of tragedy, we can find peace and hope through the atonement and resurrection of Jesus Christ."
Yeah, that's a sad story.
It is a sad story. So like I said, I feel like a bummer that we've ended on that one. But
usually we like to end on Mormons behaving badly, but we didn't really have any this week.
I know. And you know what?
Which we should be happy about.
Last month when we recorded as well, we didn't have any Mormons behaving badly.
Everyone's either behaving themselves or hiding things really good lately.
Exactly. Maybe word on the street has gotten out that, you know, if you are a Mormon and you behave badly, those twin sisters are going to shame you.
Oh, I'm sure that's it. I'm positive. Sure that's it. Plus, right. They tend to go in clusters, don't
they?
You
really
think?
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Like,
they
we'll
do.
Have a dry period, and then all of a sudden it's like all the crazies come out in the news, and you're like, oh, please, no, not another. And then you'll have a little dry period.
That's very true. We're just in a dry spell right now. Well, I have full faith that we will return to Mormons behaving badly. They can't help themselves.
All right. This is about it. Should we do our
favorite things this week?
Okay. We are going to share our favorite things like we always do, just for the fun of it, not because we're endorsed or sponsored or anything. We just want you
to know what we like and we think is cool.
So this has been my favorite thing over the past month. I got a journal and it is a mother-daughter pass-along journal. And it's actually done by some LDS ladies, but it's not super churchy and it's definitely not LDS specific. There are a few questions in it. So it's a spiral notebook. You open it up. There's prompts for the mother to write, prompts for the daughter to write, and you pass it back and forth.
Now, I think this is really cool.
It's really cool. This may have stemmed from, you know, a tween in my home who maybe is challenging to communicate with these days.
And tweens challenging to communicate with? Whatever are you talking about?
I stumbled upon this and I thought, you know what? This would be a really cool thing for me and her, a different way for us to communicate, to express our feelings in a healthy way.
Okay.
That does not involve name calling or silent treatment or
slamming doors.
Yes, other things. So I thought it was really cute. So I actually bought two. I bought one. I have a 12-year-old and a 9-year-old daughter, and I got one for both. And it has been so fun and so sweet. So the journal is called I Love Us, So Let's Write About It. And it's by Hillary Weeks and Shannon Foster.
Well, Hillary Week, she's a singer.
I know. She collaborated with this Shannon Foster. And so this Shannon Foster has a big website business that I've heard about over the years. I haven't really looked into it that much, but she started out, I don't know how many years ago, doing graphic design, like to supplement church materials, like making cute little printout things for young women's. And from looking at her website lately, she has grown her empire.
Okay.
The name of her website is The Redheaded Hostess. Have you ever heard of her?
No, I've never heard of that.
So she now does like all kinds of supplemental material for Come Follow Me and young women's themes and stuff like that. And she's grown it into a business and like has employees, which you kind of have mixed feelings about. But she's doing a good thing. Anyways, so she has this journal. And you can buy it online. They actually do not sell it in Deseret Books, but you can buy it online. They also were selling it at Costco recently.
Oh, interesting.
And it's just really cute. Like some of the prompts are what grosses you out. And there's a side for the mother to write, a side for the daughter to write. The very first page is write 10 things you love about your mom. And the mom writes 10 things you love about your daughter.
Oh.
And then there are some pages that are spiritual. Like one is write your favorite scripture and what it means to you. And then others that are just goofy and silly, like write a story of a time when you were embarrassed. And you just – so you each write your thing and you take it and like I leave it on their bed. And then when they get a chance, they write their part and leave it on my bed. It's been really sweet.
Oh, I love this idea.
Yeah, I love it. It's been fun.
That's a great favorite thing. Okay. I'm going to do two this month.
Okay.
Okay. Because I had my original one and then I had another one pop up last night.
Okay.
So – I am a lover of Oreos.
Yes.
And, of course, they come out with all of the crazy different flavors.
Yeah.
And I have to tell you, hands down, my favorite Oreo is the peanut butter pie Oreo. This is a graham cracker Oreo, and it has peanut butter and chocolate in it for the filling. Half peanut butter, half chocolate. Well, that was a limited edition thing, so, you know, those are no more at the moment.
Oh.
But what I did see recently, and I bought, and I tried them, is they have a s'mores Oreo. Mm. So it is, again, a graham cracker cookie, which I have to say, I love the graham cracker cookie part. I love that better than the original chocolate Oreo part, and I love that better than the vanilla Oreo part. I love myself a good graham cookie.
Okay.
So it's a graham cookie, and it has one layer of marshmallow and one layer of chocolate.
Well, that sounds delicious.
It is delicious. It's not quite as good as the peanut butter pie, but if I can't have the peanut butter pie, I do like me the s'mores Oreo.
Okay, I'll have to try.
So.
Okay, what's your next?
My next one is, so last night I'm sitting on the couch. It's about, I don't know, 10:30-ish, 11 o'clock or so. It was actually about 10:30. My soon-to-be graduated daughter comes in, and this is the first time I've had a chance to kind of really see her all day. She'd been out with her friends. It was her last day of high school yesterday. And so she sat on the couch, and we kind of, you know, reconnected about what had happened during the day. And I said, well, you know, what were you doing tonight? And she'd with her friends, and she watched this show, and she said, Mommy, you've got to watch this show. Mm-hmm. It's apparently a comedy that is on ABC. So I found it on Hulu. Hulu has all sorts of different, you know, network channels, and I found it on Hulu, and it is called The Kids Are All Right. Now, it is set in the 1970s, which, of course, I am a big fan of the 60s and 70s, so I'm loving all the decor. It's about this family that has 8 boys, and they are Catholic. Mm-hmm. And the oldest boy is college age, and the youngest boy is a baby. And so, you know, they have multiple, even though they're Catholic, there is so much like large Mormon family stuff that you can relate to. Most comedies, I think, insult my intelligence. Mm-hmm. This one, I couldn't stop watching it. Like, I'm doing this binge thing until about 1:30 in the morning, thinking to myself, I have to get up and go to work tomorrow morning. But I didn't want to stop watching it because it was so hilariously funny and very well written.
Okay, that sounds good. I'm going to have to check it out.
It's totally something you could watch with your kids.
Oh, okay.
I thought, oh, my kids would really like this, especially my 15-year-old son, because he would relate to the antics of all of these boys. And they don't make the parents out to be stupid, which I really like.
That's good.
I really like that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the mom is kind of the glue that holds it all together. Mm-hmm. And these boys can't get anything past their mom. I mean, it is like, who's going to outplay who, the mom or them? Oh, it's hilarious.
Okay. I'll have to check it out. That sounds good.
So.
Okay.
Okay. I think that about wraps it up for us. So Twim Nation, thank you very much for joining us, Tiffany Hales and Ariane Smith as the Twim Sisters. We wish you well as we approach the summer months and hope that everybody gets done with school and gets some relaxing vacation time.
That's right. Or at least a lot of girls camp and scout camp.
Our track.
All the fun things.
All the fun things.
So thank you for listening. Be sure to find Twim on their Facebook page. We have a Twim Sisters Instagram. There's a regular Twim Instagram,
yes.
Twitter, all the places.
And as always, if you want to talk to Jeff, reach out to him at contact@thisweekinmormons.com.
This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. This Week in Mormons. The original Mormon news.